sitting down there when they told me in that double wide trailer. And I've never heard him speak to me before. I'm sitting there at the kitchen table. And the only thing I know is it's a voice was drawing me but had never drew me before. I was troubled in ways that I had never been troubled. Yeah. And the only thing I know, I don't know what salvation happened when you got saved or what your experience was, but I know mine, I didn't come down the aisle popping chewing gum and twiddling my fingers and checking TikToks and everything else. And I knew that night was my last night on earth as a 7-year-old boy. That if I didn't get saved, I'd die and go to hell.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that it's still real.
Amen.
I'm thankful that he still loves us.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thankful that he's never let me go.
Amen.
And that he's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to all of his children. We certainly, these days are not days that we would probably want for a lot of families, for a lot of people. There's troubles on every side, but he's still good. And he's still going to get us through. And I thank him and I praise his name. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. If you will, if you're willing and you're able, I want you to stand with me this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. I want to begin reading in verse number 9, but I'll go back and use a couple of verses as a background for our text this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His eyes are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Correctly reading our text this morning, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Verse number 9 through verse number 16, we ask that the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word. You can be seated this morning. Song of Solomon, to many people, many commentaries, they debate of who to credit the Song of Solomon to. Certainly for many believers, for many young women and young men, they've taken verses from the Song of Solomon when they have found the one that God has given them and put in their life, the one that as a little child they prayed that God would give them. The Song of Solomon this morning is a never-ending love story. It's a love story that if you read through its pages, it has good times and it has bad times. It's good for the shepherd, but sometimes for this daughter of Jerusalem, this shepherdess girl, things don't go always easy for her. She struggles this evening with the daughters of Jerusalem. She struggles with a king that desires her only for her beauty. But she also desires to know fully the shepherd man that is to be followed by the footsteps of the flock. She wants to know where he's at all times. She wants to know how close she can get to him. Certainly this evening, the Song of Solomon, it is as if we are looking through the lattice. We see almost the face of the Beloved, but we never come to the fullness of it. Possibly this morning, Brother Tony, it is because that regardless of how many words that you use, how many alliteration, how much typology, how much picture of an illustration you try to paint about this Beloved, you'll never be able to get it told. You'll never be able to sit down with pen or with paper or in song and truly describe what the Beloved means to this shepherd maiden. And that's what it is for you and me as children of God this morning. When we look back at our relationship with Jesus Christ, when we look at what He's done for us, when we look at how He's loved us with an everlasting love, when we were black and the sun was shining on us, when we had nothing about ourselves that was attractive, God Almighty saw something in you and in me. That's what this Beloved does for this maiden. He sees something about her that the king don't see, that the daughters don't see. And the love that he has for her is an invested love. It is the purest story, Brother Tony, about a bride and her beloved. It is view of his wholeness through her heart and through her eyes. We see his frame through her fixation. A view not easily deterred or distracted, but solemnly she is sharing her devotion to this shepherd. She is blooming and beaming with love, but she wants to tell everybody in Jerusalem what her beloved means to her. I want to preach if the Lord would be my helper on being infatuated with Him. Yes. Being infatuated with Him. Now, when we read the Song of Solomon, we think that this is a love story like a Hallmark movie. There's really not a whole lot of bad things that happen. Most of it's just good things. Yes. My grandma, she's a Hallmark fanatic. You stop by to see her, you want to stop and get one of them fried apple pies that Mama fixes. You stop by, she's sitting there at 2 o'clock in the morning and she's faithful to still watch her Hallmark movies. And it's not like what Hollywood or anybody else would portray. She, in verse number 7, she's a knocking and she's wanting to see her beloved. Verse number 6 says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Verse number 7, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They have smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. By way of introduction, she has knocked and opened her door to her beloved. And she begins to look and seek about her beloved. She's walking through the streets and the watchmen there have taken her and abused her and have humiliated her. And she tells the daughters of Jerusalem that when you find my beloved, you tell him that I am sick of love. Now the word means by implication a love token. It is lover or beloved friend. It's where her love has brewed and boiled over to a capacity where she is no doubt lost in time and in thought about him. And she says, I want you to tell the one that has stirred up in me that I am sick of loves. Now, the word sick this evening does not speak, if you will, of it in a negative connotation. What he's saying is that this word sick in the Hebrew means simply to be rough or worn. Simply means that she has been afflicted. She's been made to be weak. And she's saying that when you see my beloved, you tell him that I ain't never forgot about his love. When you see my beloved, you tell him that his love is still wearing me out. You tell him that I still ain't forgot about what he looks like and what he means to me. I'm afraid in our churches, brother was asking me what churches, what COVID happened with churches. You know what I think, brother? It's only the biggest problem in churches is we forgot about our beloved.
Yes.
You know why people don't go to church and why people ain't faithful to church? It's just simply because they ain't never met the beloved. I believe, and you can argue with me all you want to, but brother, I believe if there ain't no fruit at all, then there ain't no root. Because it's vine.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that in her heart and in her life and with her lips, she was saying, I cannot forget about my beloved. My testimony may not mean much to you, and your testimony may not mean a whole lot to me, but it's my story in relation to him. It's your story in relation to him. And that's all that matters. It's your relationship with your beloved. Not everybody's going to understand your marriage, I'm sure. If you were to sit down, if we was to sit down with all the couples in the church and say, I want you to tell me what your husband views about this or what your wife views about this. Does your wife like you to help her cook in the kitchen? There are probably a wife that says, no, I want my husband sitting in the living room so he's out of my way. And there's different scenarios and there's different things about the relationships that people have with their beloved. But the main thing is that we don't get over that beaming and blossoming love that we have for the Savior. That's what she's saying this evening. When you find my beloved, you tell my beloved that I am beaming with love. Verse number 9, it's not a question of who is her beloved. But they ask her, what is thy beloved? What is thy beloved more than any other beloved? What is thy beloved more than any other beloved that thou dost so charge us? Yeah. It's not who he is, but it's what is he. If someone was to ask you this evening, what is Jesus to you? Yeah. I'm sure the definitions would change. But I'm afraid, Brother Tony, that the definitions are getting more shallower and shallower and shallower. Because our relationship with him is not like it used to be. Our relationship with him may not be as strong as it used to be. And so they ask her the question, I want you to compare him to somebody else. Try to compare him and explain to me, really, if he really stands out more than anybody else. The Bible says in verse number 10, my beloved is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000.
that talks about, if you will, his wide and his ruddy. He is looking at these individuals and these people, and she's reminding that this wide and ruddy speaks about the purity of her beloved. There's people that would at one time said, when I was going to Bible college, if Christ could have sinned, would he have sinned? It was a debate about the impeccability, if Christ was impeccable or not. I'm telling you, every moment of his life was a monument of holiness. He didn't come just to catch fish, but he came to do the will of his Father. Every moment of his life was pure. His wide and his ruddy speaks about his, that ruddiness speaks about his physicality, how he is the bloom of hell. Yes. The chiefest among 10,000 simply means that that's my standard. Talks about Brother Tony, here he is, and I'm raising up a flag beside my beloved. What she's saying is a flag has been lifted up and he's my standard. He's the standard for how every other beloved should be. How do we get that in comparison to Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, if he was to take the sitting 10,000 lambs, he's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. If you were a botanist this evening and you was to go through and look at roses and look at lilies, he's the rose of Sharon. And he's that lily of the valley. If you were to go out and see 10,000 stars and try to count them, I'm telling you, it does not matter which one you gaze at. He is the bride and the morning star. He's the standard. It don't get no better than him. By being infatuated with your beloved. Do you love him like you used to love him? Do you love him like you used to love him? You say, my life ain't played out the way that I wanted it to. Mine ain't either. And a lot of us, if we were to be honest, we'd say the same thing. But that ain't got to stop you loving him. Let him draw you closer to him. He's, verse number 11, his head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy. Black as a raven. It's speaking of his physicality, but I want to make mention this evening where it says that his head is as the most fine gold. In your Bible this evening, when you study and the word gold is mentioned, it symbolizes sovereignty. He's sovereign. It doesn't matter if somebody tries to rule your life, let God be sovereign. You don't dress because some Baptist told you how to dress. You dress because God's sovereign. You don't sing the songs that you sing because that's what mom and daddy told you to sing. You sing them because you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is sovereign.
Yes.
Spurgeon said this about the sovereignty of God. When you go through a trial, it's God's sovereignty that becomes a pillow for which we can rest our head. Why can I rest in the sovereignty of God? Because you and I are absolutely nothing apart from Him. He is everything to us. He has bled and died for you and for me. That's why I can rest my head in Him. I love what Brother John Phillips said. Talks about this beloved. Talks about his sovereignty, his dignity, how he is set apart. John Phillips said this, royal dignity clung to him like a kingly robe. When you look at Jesus Christ, he was just a mere man to everybody else. But the way that he walked and the way that he talked, and the way that he worked in the lives of men and women, he was completely without any doubt royalty.
Yes.
Royalty.
Yes.
Verse number 12, the Bible says, his eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters washed with milk and fitly set. The word is seen in his eyes are the eyes of doves. That when you look, he gazes out over nothingness and he watched it expand. And the word doves here is present a picture of a promise. That he is committed, that's what doves are. Two doves, when they mate, Brother Tony, they mate for life. When they sit, they never find, you never find them with another dove. Yeah. Commitment. What she's saying, when he looks at me, he looks at me with eyes of commitment. Yes. He has pledged himself to you and me. There's times it seems like mom and daddy wasn't there. There's times it seems like badness ain't there. There's times it seems like you've been let go. I'm telling you, God Almighty has never let you go. He's pledged himself to you and to me. He's there in the darkness. He's there in the valley. Verse number 13, the Bible says, his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. What he's saying this evening is talking about his perfume, his fragrance. She says, if you ever come to where he's at, she says, you can get a whiff of it. She said, he smells in a way that nobody else smells. When he's in the midst, he puts off a fragrance. When he walks by, I smell him stronger than I smell anybody else. I get a whiff of him. Yeah. Brother Tony, I've never experienced this before in my life. I've been around a lot of good prayer meetings. I remember we was praying one night with a preacher and his family. They always got together on Saturday evening before church to pray. And all I remember, Brother Tony, we're sitting there praying and his wife starts she's shooing. She's clapping her hands. Tears are rolling down her face. And she says, honey, she looks at her husband. Tears are rolling down her face. She grabs him and she says, I can smell him. She says, I can smell him. They said that old time preachers used to sit there when God would move in. And every once in a while, they said, you can smell him. It's just a sweet smell in the house of God. Yes. You know how things smell right around here? Is if you let him come in and let his fragrance spread the room.
Oh, yes.
His perfume, his words had power. Dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Yeah. Verse number 14, it talks about a picture of his whole, how holy human he is. Verse 15, it talks about the pillars of marble, how he's stable, how he cannot be shaken. He's not wobbling back and forth this morning. He's just as strong and just as sure as he's ever been.
Yes.
Verse number 16, it talks about his mouth, most sweet, how he is approachable. I can come to him when I cannot come to any body else. But in this Song of Solomon, his mouth is most sweet. I want to move to verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem.
Yes.
What she's saying is she said he was wooing me back there. And I think about who he is today. And there's still some wooing going on. Yes. It's almost as if he's still a court me, Brother Tony. He's still loving on me. Yes. And he wants me to never forget
yes.
who and what he is to me. Verse number 16 where it says he is altogether lovely. Simply says that he's just a well-rounded individual.
Yeah.
Regardless of what I try to depict, regardless of what I try to explain, Regardless of what kind of illustrations I try to paint in your mind and in your heart of what he is altogether lovely. He's well-rounded. I don't ever want to get past or forget who he is and what he is for you and me. People say, what changes people's lives in 2023? The same thing that was changing lives in 1990. Nothing but him. What kind of songs do I need to be singing in my church? The same thing y'all are singing this morning. Songs that testify of him. What do I need? How do I need to live my life? Same thing mom and daddy told you. Same thing preachers told you. Live your life centered on him. There's a lot of death. Brother Tony, that's going on right now around people that I know and in my family. There's a lot of things that just don't make sense. I got an uncle this morning that's sitting laid in a hospital bed on a ventilator, that if he was to die right now, based on his life and based on his fruit, I'm afraid, Brother Tony, he would not spend eternity in heaven. A lot of things just don't make sense. But if God just gives just a window of somebody to have an opportunity, what's the remedy for everything that don't make sense? My beloved, when preachers turn against you, when things get said that are absolutely wrong, and it doesn't make sense, when Baptists forsake you, when families forsake you, when your spouse forsakes you, what is the remedy? Yes. Still, my beloved, I know what it is, just a little bit, not like some of you probably do, to go through some things and you're sitting there with your head in your lap of crying, trying to figure out what's going on. What's the answer? What can I say? What can I do? And then all of a sudden, I'm reminded, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 16, Luke, his mouth is most sweet.
Yes.
Yea, he is all together lovely.
Yes.
This is my beloved. This is my friend,
yes.
O daughters of Jerusalem. My hope and my prayer for myself is that I know him in a way I've never known him before.
Amen.
Over and over in the chapter, Brother Tony, she just scrooches just a little closer. She scrooches just a little closer. Talking to the brother this morning, and I'm still like a lot of people. When you try to make sense of things, I don't understand, Brother Tony. And it bothers me that I don't sometimes have the words, but I don't understand. Still this day, I know it's all for God's glory, and somehow for our good, but I just don't understand why good things happen. Where bad things happen to good people.
Yeah.
Brother Tony, I'll be honest with you, I share my heart. I wish I could take it away from you. Because you're my hero. I wish, brother, this morning I could do something for you, Daddy. But I can't. But I know somebody that can. I wish, Brother Tony, I could put homes back together. But I can't. But I know somebody who is all that I need.
Amen.
He is all together
lovely. Yes.
And I hope and I pray this morning that in 2023, he becomes more of a beloved to you and you love him more than you ever have. Preacher, you don't have a clue what I'm going through. He does. You don't know what my family's facing in this coming year. A lot of uncertainty. He's still certain.
Yes.
He's still on the throne.
Yes.
He's still in control. He ain't a wobbling back and forth. He's still just as strong and steadfast as he's ever been. Rest in him. Piano player will come. Brother, you come get us a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, for your love, for your patience and your kindness upon our life. Lord, forgive me for not drawing as close to you as I should have in days gone by. Father, help me to love you more than I ever have before. God, you know what your people stand in need of this morning. Lord, you know their heart. And I ask you and I pray that, Lord, you'd encourage them. You'd help them. God, comfort them as they rest in you. Put your hand upon this church. And God, I pray that you'd continue to use it in years to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand. All heads are bowed.